Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get your podcast from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. I've been saving this city because I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce it. I've been wanting to do this city for a long time, just not 100% on this. But I think it's, I believe, I mean, and you know, famous people live here, so I feel bad for not knowing exactly how to say it. But Escatapaw, Mississippi, is that right?
Oh, God.
Is that correct?
No, it doesn't sound right at all.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Escatapaw? I don't know.
Escatapaw, I'm pretty sure I'm right.
I've seen that, but I don't think I've ever heard it pronounced. But that can't be correct.
So let's see if we can get a pronunciation then. How to pronounce that? So here we go. Let's see if you guys can hear it. I hope you can. I'm gonna turn my volumes up here so you guys can hear. Here we go.
Escatapa, Mississippi.
Escatapa.
Escatapa. Yep.
Escatapa.
That sounds right.
Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Escatapa.
Lee Battelle, I swear to God, if you correct us on that before listening to the pronunciation, we're blocking your number.
You will be...
Don't do it, Lee Battelle.
You will be off the cookout and the Christmas party list.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Escatapa.
Who all is from Escatapa?
It's where Three Doors Down is from.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's South Mississippi, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Down like Pearl River.
Yeah. Let me see exactly here. Okay.
You know what? I did know that. I'd forgotten all about that.
So like, yeah, it's above Moss Point. So it's
here without you, baby.
I guess it's technically it might be like in Jackson County.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. This weekend, are you firing up the grill? The weather's still awesome. Beef, it's what's for dinner. That's what our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council want you to know. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So whether you're cooking it or whether you're letting someone else cook it for you, grab a steak this weekend. And don't forget to vote in the annual Best Steakhouse and Best Burger Joint voting for the Mississippi Beef Council. It's on the Mississippi Beef Council Facebook page. It is a quick little process to get your vote in. They aren't using your votes for, they aren't selling your information. You don't have to worry about it. And if they did sell your information, they'd probably sell it to somebody who's trying to give you steaks. So, you know, just go with it. It's going
to
be okay.
Yeah, maybe they'd sell your information to someone giving you steaks. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
I would take that. Today.
You'll vote for your favorite steakhouse. We'll see what the winner is. We'll announce that winner very, very soon. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thank you to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoke, nope. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the Maroon and White that you're looking for. I know that you are looking for it. As the holiday season is upon us, you got to get stuff for the MSU fans and your family. Put it under the tree. Put it in the stocking. Everything you need is at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can always shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. So what does that mean? When you're in Starkville and you want to eat good, you go to Restaurant Tyler. Love the lunch, love the dinner, love the Sunday brunch. Dinner at Restaurant Tyler, I feel like it's underrated. I feel like people, you know, everybody knows to go there for lunch, and the Sunday brunch is huge. But that dinner, I mean, the best steaks in town. I mean, if you said, if the Mississippi Beef Council's thing was vote for the best steak in Starkville, I would vote for Restaurant Tyler. 10 times out of 10.
Excellent.
It's fantastic. So if you haven't been to Restaurant Tyler for dinner, you're definitely missing out. Get over there soon. Get over this holiday season. They'll be selling gift cards, too. That's a great stocking stuffer right there. They usually do. I'll just go and give you a heads up. They usually on Black Friday, they've been known to do like a 2-for-1 kind of gift card deal. So if that's the case, I'll find out for sure, and I'll let you know. But that makes a great gift, a gift card from Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only where they're located, they're going to show you how they're going to help you manage money, how they're going to help you invest, and help you prepare for the future. If you're already a Priority One Bank customer, you know all about their app. It's a great app. It's a lot more than just moving money around between accounts. You can do everything you can do at a Priority One Bank location, you can do on the app. It's a smooth, streamlined banking experience for your mobile device. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie, I feel like we've been talking for the past few weeks about the disconnect between Mississippi State's administration, the university, and the fans. There feels like there's a disconnect right now, you know, in terms of fan experience at the games, you know, what we're seeing at other schools versus what we see at Mississippi State, but also on the field, that there's a disconnect, because I feel like fans are 100% behind an idea, and yet I don't know the commitment from the university of the same idea. And it, to me, is the biggest thing that's going to determine the future success of Jeff Lebby here at Mississippi State. And that is the decision that must be made at season's end. And as I said a few weeks ago, I think after the Arkansas game, after we talked to Jeff Lebby after the Arkansas game, I said, I think that any decision regarding Coleman Hutzler's future at Mississippi State will be made after the season. You know, I know people continue to want for that decision to be made. They see staffing decisions being made at other schools around the country. Florida State let some coaches go this week in the midst of a disastrous season. I get it. Absolutely get it. But I just don't think that's how it's going to be done. And that's not a like a joke about that's not how we do business kind of thing that we had to deal with it last year. But I just feel like that's what they want to do. That's fine. It's irrelevant. It really is. They make the move on November 30th. It's fine. But the amount of smoke coming out of football that maybe that decision is not going to get made, and maybe the Coleman Hutzler is going to come back for another season, is quite frankly to me surprising. I've thought about this a lot. You know, I've thought in terms of, you know, what are the scenarios that exist for the ramifications of that decision? You do have the first and the most positive scenario, right? That it is almost exclusively a talent issue, and that with another year of working the portal and having those connections, that Coleman Hutzler, who is known to be a good recruiter, will be able to bring in, you know, a group that elevates the talent level here. That, you know, you probably end up making some changes on the staff, but you just move forward with Hutzler and he elevates this defense. That's a positive, right? The only other two scenarios to me are both negative, which is, one, Hutzler is unable to recruit players because they've seen the tape. They're like, I don't want to go play there. Or two, he brings in a group that is not full of difference makers, that they, because the difference makers have seen the tape. And one way or the other, it's just not what you want, and you're looking at another losing season because you can't keep anybody out of the end zone. The negatives for that far outweigh any potential positives. And I feel like the positives are only potential positives. There are no written in stone positives for this. Robbie, I'm going to put you on the record. I'm going to go on the record too. I think they're going to make this change at the end of the season, because I just don't see how you can't. Your fan base will revolt against you if you don't make this change. There will be zero excitement about college football in Starkville going into another season. That would make it a couple in a row. You have to make this change. Robbie, make a prediction now. Is Coleman Hutzler still the defensive coordinator here? I'll give him till December 1st.
So after the Egg Bowl. Like
after the Egg Bowl.
A couple, you know, week or two after the Egg Bowl, whatever.
Yeah.
Or I guess that's just a few days. You know, I've been one of the few that have said that I could very well see him sticking around. I've felt that way for a while now. I just don't know if Jeff Lebby wants to make this move right now. I think the best thing for Mississippi State is probably to make a change. And you know, it's got to be a guy that is either kind of a rising star, group of five type dude, or an established defensive coordinator, somebody that can either bring excitement in the form of, hey, this is a young, energetic guy like a Manny Diaz that I've always said, or this is a guy that's been doing this for a long time and he can point to who he's put in the NFL, who he's recruited, who he's developed. The problem that I have here is, you know, with Coleman Hutzler is I don't know for certain that he is going to be a bad defensive coordinator moving forward, or that he can't do this job long term. I don't know that for certain. I don't think anybody can say that for certain. I think a lot of people think that, but I don't think that that's proven just yet. This is his first time coaching a defense. And I think that, you know, certainly there's room for him to be much better. And he's worked with a lot of great coaches. You know, he's going to pick up a lot over time. The issue that I continue to bring up about this is you have got to have an overhaul in talent now. You've got to bring in impact players right now. You can't afford to go in the next season having a roster like this. And in order to do that, can Coleman Hutzler get you to that spot? I don't know if that's the case. He's already lost some significant pieces to this recruiting class that we're probably going to help Mississippi State next season. And who knows if everybody else will stay on board through the next month or so. So that's kind of the issue that I have here. And it's almost like Jeff Lebby's hands could be tied on this. You know, they're almost at the point where they probably have to make a move just to kind of see if they can save, you know, the team next year. Because I just don't know if Coleman Hutzler is going to be able to turn this roster over like he needs to be able to. Now, say that he can guarantee you, which I don't know, you know, how you can do that, but he can guarantee you that he's going to be able to bring in some portal pieces next year that are impact players, guys that could start at other SEC schools, a total, you know, overhaul in the defensive line that's going to make you competitive up front. We've seen time and time again that players, to me, are the most important part of a ball game. And if you got the guys on the line of scrimmage, then they can make a lot of people look really smart. And State's got to make some changes up front that is going to be able to put the defensive coordinator in position to make the calls and to put the scheme together. I just don't know if Mississippi State's going to be able to do that with Coleman Hutzler at this point. So as far as a prediction, back to your original point, I'm leaning towards him coming back. I just don't have any faith right now from what I've heard that Jeff Lebby is going to pull that trigger and make that call. The numbers suggest that nobody that has those kind of numbers should keep their job the next year on either side of the ball. If your offense or your defense is ranked among the 10 worst units in college football,
in
you
every
should
category.
Not have a job at the school next year. You're getting paid $1 million to do this job, and you're failing at it. We can blame the players. We can blame whoever we want to, but you're ranked inside the 120s to 130, whatever it is right now. That's a lot of money to be spent on failing that badly. And this defense being what it is, this should be a one-and-done Peter Sermon-type situation. Right now, I don't know for certain that that's going to be the case. And, you know, the coming weeks will obviously tell us and tell the tale here. But if it was, you know, today and the decision had to be made, I would have no faith that Jeff Lebby was going to make that move.
A lot of people are yelling at their – whatever they're listening to this podcast on, people are yelling at it right now. Just want to let you know that. I'm sure you're aware, but there's nothing you can do about it. You're just telling them – I would rather you tell me the truth. Tell me exactly
what
you're
thinking. Just being honest, and listen, I mean, we've talked about that. If that is the case, if they're going to run it back, and maybe they make some changes on the defensive staff, I don't think that that's – I still don't think that that's going to appease this fan base.
No, I don't either.
There will be nobody that's excited about this team moving forward, and there will be nobody – there will be some people, but there will be very few people that have faith in Jeff Lebby to have watched this play out all year long and not do what it takes to fix it. And just changing some position groups, I don't think that moves the needle.
I'm already looking forward to some reports out of the spring and then out of preseason camp of, oh, you know, they really like what they've got. They feel like they've got some pieces there. That these new additions are really making it done. Or if they don't get any new additions, well, we're hearing these guys have made a huge leap forward. I mean, we're going to hear it, and it's going to be crap. I'll just go ahead and prepare y'all for that. You will not hear it from Brian Haydad. You will not.
I mean,
unless they get a
huge overhaul in talent.
And that's going to be the key. If Hutzler stays, in the next 30 days, you better add 15 to 20 players who can play in the SEC at a high level. I mean, I'll go and tell you right now, and I said it back when he entered the portal, you keep Coleman Hutzler, Jaheim Otis better be a Bulldog, all right? You got the connections there with him. They were there. They were at Alabama together. He's a Mississippi kid. You got the money. You better bring him in. And he better be one of about 12 to 15 more guys that they're going to have to bring in. I mean, when I look at this starting lineup, the only guy for sure I say would start next year is Isaac Smith. Stone Blanton, surprisingly, has been pretty good this year. If he came back for another year and was in that lineup, I can get around that. As long as he's got some pieces around him, he'll be okay there. Other than that, I'm good with another different nine after those two.
So, and
like most of that 18,
you know, the first, like, 20 players.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have –
you're too deep. You need about 18 guys.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's a lot of money that's going to have to be spent, man.
It is, but you're going to have to spend it.
Got to have choice.
I was thinking about talking to Charlie and be like, look, and I think you'll agree with me on this. If you're, let's say your first commitment, like you're working on Otis and you're working on another couple of big time guys and you feel really good about it and they're probably going to commit the day after the first guy commits. And the first guy is some guy who was decent, you know, safety at South Alabama or something like that. Like not a big time player at all. Tell him to wait.
Yeah.
You cannot have your first announcement. Your first announcement has to be a big one. Because if you go out there and you're like, hey, we got Kennesaw State's cornerback coming in. That's our first. People are going to lose. They're going to be like, what are we doing? It'll just be a total meltdown.
Yeah. If you're going to run it back, like I said, with Coleman Hutzler, day after the Egg Bowl, you got to have changes on the defensive staff.
Uh-huh.
Several. And you need to be dropping commit announcements from impact. If you got those guys lined up, which that to me, that would be my ultimatum is if you're going to stay here, I need people the day after the Egg Bowl, you need to show me that you're going to be able to bring in, if not elite talent, really good players for next year. So we have a plan in place. And if you don't have those guys lined up, then we're just going to have to find somebody else. This is a million-dollar man. And I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm not bashing him or anything as a person, but this is big business, man. Like, you're making $1 million to put a product on the field right now, and some of it is not his fault. Some of this is not on him. Some of this is the previous staff did not have talent waiting in the wings, that didn't have depth, that didn't have experience. That's well known. But we haven't seen anything to the contrary that tells us that Coleman Hutzler is a really good defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And if you're in this position of power and you're making that kind of money and people are investing money into this program, it's no longer, let's wait and see. Now it's poop or get off the pot at this point. And they got to have something waiting in the wind. If he's going to stick around, they better have something a day or two after the Egg Bowl ready to pop.
If you go back a season ago, the minute, like, when Walter Nolan was in the portal, people were like, Ole Miss is expected to be a player with him, right? Same with Princely Mamielen. Same with, Diego Pounds, who I think is
pretty much everybody.
Washington offensive lineman. And the reason for that is simple. Those deals are done, all right? They're done when they got in the portal. That needs to be the same thing. It needs to be, you know, whoever gets in the portal, I don't know. I don't even have a name to give you. But player X, expect Mississippi State to be a player with him. Mississippi State will be involved here. already hearing Mississippi State has reached out. Things like that. You'd better see that day one. I need it on the first. I'll give them the 30th, man. I'll give them the Saturday after the Egg Bowl to relax and have a day, watch the Iron Bowl, do whatever you want. But that next day, the first, that Sunday, things better start popping. Because if we go through this, because, I mean, in the next few weeks, the following things are going to happen. You're going to lose the Egg Bowl by a large margin, right? Caleb Cunningham is going to flip to Ole Miss. Deuce Knight is going to flip to Ole Miss. So they're going to get, the top three or four guys in the state. At this point, it wouldn't surprise me if a Kylan Deer flipped back to them, but I'll just be honest. They have the momentum right now. I don't know that that's going to happen. I'm not saying I've heard anything. I'm just telling you that it just won't surprise me at this point that Ole Miss makes a huge push to get these guys. And then we're going to go into signing day, and State's going to have what it has, and Ole Miss is going to put together probably a top 15 to 10 recruiting class, and then the portal's going to happen, or Ole Miss is going to do well there because they are. You got to get some momentum going. You got to have something. And if Hutzler's going to stay, that's on him. They've got to do that. Otherwise, if we go through this and Mississippi State finishes with like the 29th ranked high school class and the 23rd ranked portal class, guys, we can spend all of the summer talking about basketball, I guess, because there's not going to be anything to talk about at that point. I mean,
well, last year we were told, recently we were told that last year the issue with Mississippi State and the reason they weren't able to get defensive guys is they came in late.
Right.
Staff came in there late.
That's why it's not an excuse this year.
Relationships. That is not an excuse anymore. That now they've had a full year here. They've had a chance to start making those connections, however they need to make them. Some guys that have already entered the portal, that they've already been talking to, things like that. There is no excuse anymore. And that's kind of the issue here is like there is no – when you look at it right now, I can't point to anything to say that, this sucks right now, but look what's coming down the line. I don't have anything to point to. If I knew Jaheim Otis was coming to mm-hmm. Mississippi State, then, okay, we can start talking about, there's a chance this team's a lot better next year. If I knew they were getting an impact linebacker from somewhere, if I knew that they had Henry that flipped to Alabama was going to come in and be an edge rusher for him, and the defensive line was going to have Zay Hardy for sure and guys like that. If I knew all that was happening, if those guys were signed or those where we knew for a fact they were coming here, then I think we would be a little more adept to reason here.
Yeah.
But right now there isn't a whole lot when you look at this recruiting class that sells you on what they got going on right now. They've lost three guys in this class already defensively that were really going to help them. Mm-hmm. They're all gone. They have some pieces, but right now it's just, Mississippi State is kind of in the desert. Mm-hmm. That they're, I don't know where things are going. I really don't. I don't know if this team's falling off a cliff right now or if they're just kind of they're starting to climb back up. I don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to be, misery for the next 5 years or something, and State fans are going to have to sit there and watch Ole Miss succeed while they falter. I don't know what's going to happen. This is a very strange, very for Mississippi State people, it should be a very scary time for your football program because Jeff Lebby has never been a head coach before. We have nothing to point to like we did with Mike Leach. He's got a defensive coordinator that we don't know if he's going to keep him or not. He seems to be happy with him. He's got a roster that is, quite frankly, at the very bottom of the SEC right now, especially on the defensive side. And the recruiting is not great right now either. So there are a lot of things that have to happen in this offseason to bring everybody back around and get everybody on the same page. And, we just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
this offseason is huge for Mississippi State's future.
This offseason is everything. It is everything. It is the future of the program is decided basically starting December 1st. Like, what happens from December 1st through, the second signing day, that is the program.
Yeah. And I believe in Jeff Lebby and what he's saying as far as, his plan offense. And I like the offense. I think it's a really good scheme. I think he's going to have players in that offense to be really good. But, we talked preseason about, like, if you just have, if your offense lives up to its expectations, if your defense is just not very good, people can deal with that this year. You can't have a defense like this every year. You can't have a bad defense every year. It's okay for right now, but the defense has got to be, it's got to meet you in the middle somewhere. And the defense doesn't even have to be great every year. Can you meet the offense in the middle? Can the offense be really, really good and the defense be in the top 80? That's kind of where your goals should be set right now. My goals are not for Mississippi State to be top 25 defensively next year.
Right.
I want them to break inside the top 100 and be able to consistently stop SEC teams from scoring.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it is right now, that Mississippi State should never be in this position on the defensive side of the ball.
No, I agree. I agree. I agree 100%. I don't know, man. I don't know. There's just too much smoke. It makes me nervous because I just don't see how you can go forward like this. But I guess we're gonna find out what Jeff Lebby is really about in these next few weeks. We'll see. All right, before we get into our before we do the ad break and do our picks, let's talk a little hoops. MSU tonight back at the Hump, Southeastern Louisiana, the Lions. They'll take them on. I really liked what I saw Friday night. I know you were covering high school Friday night, so I got to be at the Hump. And Riley Kugel, much better in game two. I thought Michael Nwoko, who got the start. You see the athleticism and the ceiling with him. It's going to be a question of can he find it, but he's got talent. I think the same is true for Femina. They just because I mean he physically looks the part. I don't know why what's holding him back at this time. Clary is a difference maker. He's got a lot of tools there. Hubbard is Hubbard. Cam Matthews coming off the bench was really really good. The thing I like about this team, you remember this last season too. So many times we would be like, all right, you're getting get Hubbard to give you 16, 17 points. Tolu's probably going to give you 13 or 14 points. Who is going to step up and get into double digits with them? And there were a lot of games where you didn't have that and they lost. And then when when they played their best, Deshaun Davis or Shaq Moore or Cam Matthews or DJ would have 12, 13 points. This team has seven or eight guys, I think, that you can like look up and go, they could easily have 10 points at the end of this game. I mean, and it could be a different guy. Hubbard's going to be there every night, right? But Kugel, Matthews, Clary, Harris, Melendez, maybe, I don't know. Nwoko, if he can continue to get some boards. Keyshawn Murphy, these are all guys who can get you double digits scoring every night. This team is just going to be very balanced and in its attack. And I like the fact that they don't seem to have just one. You can't just shut down Hubbard and say, okay, we've got him. If you do that, somebody else is going to be open.
Yeah, and I remember the first game, people were talking about Claudell Harris, and my thoughts after that was like, I think Josh is going to do this most nights, what he did, but Claudell is not going to do that every night. But you could have that kind of night from Riley Kugel. You could have that kind of night from Kanye Clary. There are so many guys on this roster that if one of them's down, another one can have a big night. I think there's going to be a night where Kugel has a night with what Claudell Harris did game one. There's going to be a night like that. There's going to be a night where, Kanye Clary does something like that. That's where they are right now. And I think it's big when you look back at game one, Cam Matthews is in foul trouble. And you don't need this to happen every game, but Cam's in foul trouble and the state's picking him up. They're making plays, and defense is going to be something that comes along, I think, for this team too. But I really like what this team makeup is like right now, and I think when as time goes on and these guys play more and more games together, that chemistry is going to develop. They're going to become even more dangerous offensively, and I think they have over 50 points in the second half against Georgia State. That was a really well played game. by the Bulldogs, but there's obviously some issues as far as your post play, and you're going to have to rebound the ball. You're going to have to get a little more, creative in what you do and get into the boards. But I really think that eventually they're going to figure out what to do in the post. Something's going to Nwoku's going to come into power or something, and they're going to be able to kind of shore up some of those issues down there. And if they do that, you know, if this team had an Amari Williams or something like that in the post,
be a different story.
It's easily a Sweet 16 team. Mm-hmm. I think that they're still capable of that, but that's kind of the only thing that I look at right now that I wish they were better at was their, you know, the post play. But I really think that this team has a chance to do some special things, and I'm ready to see them against like Utah and McNeese State, some games that are going to be a little more competitive.
Yeah, this
game, I'm ready for that.
Yeah, this game Sunday in South Haven against Utah is a good litmus test for this team, because if they can go out there, if they play the way they've been playing these first two games and the way I expect them to play tonight against Southeastern Louisiana, and they play like that against Utah, that's a good indicator that you're on the right path. I think rebounding is going to be an issue. So does Jans. He'll tell you. He's like, it's just something about this team. You know, they're going to have to make up for it by being better shooters, which they are. And then on the defensive end, they're going to have to force more turnovers, which they are. It's only two games, but they are. The team was shooting 65% from the floor going into the final, I think, 3 minutes of the game. And that's when Jans cleared the bench and the walk-ons were out there. I think they went one for their final nine to State, was ended up shooting 58%. But they were at 65% when they finally eased off the gas. Again, don't expect that kind of shooting percentage every night, but it's interesting to see how many guys can, and the way they attack. Kugel can do a little bit of everything. So can Clary. Hubbard can get to the rim. Harris can get to the rim. You've got guards who can take the jump shots, but they can also attack. You've got some length at the wing with Kugel, with Melendez. Cam Matthews just is what he is. I mean, I feel like, you know, I think the idea of him coming off the bench was interesting to me, because it limited that foul issue that he had. You know, and then when he came in, he was just dominant. And when they let him bring the ball up, that is such a mismatch with him at the top and letting him drive to the bucket. I mean, it's just get out of the way. The guy's a train. Yeah, nobody can stop him. So I really like what I've seen through two games. It is only two games. I know they're going to face some adversity at some point. Like I said, I'm very interested to go to South Haven this Sunday and give them a look and see what they look like there. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. No sign today, since there's no I saw the sign, since there's no press conference. We'll bring that back next week. But what we will always have with Pip Printing and Signs is reliable service for every business need. What it means is this: you are a business owner. You want customers to come in the door. You want them to continue to come back again and again. You got to get the message of your business out there, and that's what Pip Printing and Signs can do for you. They've been doing it for 30 years here in the Midwest. It doesn't have the same ring to it. 30 years.
30?
Yeah, that's not the same. It's not the same. If we're still doing this podcast together in 2044, which, by the way, I'll be 69.
Nice.
Can you imagine me doing this podcast still at that age? Still making the same crude jokes that I make? I would absolutely do them, just to make you aware.
Yeah, that would really make me uncomfortable. 70-year-old Brian Hayden.
I'd have at least one grandchild by there, and I'm still making 69 jokes. Yeah, what can I say? Pip Printing and Signs, they'll still be around in 20 years because of the quality customer service they provide to the businesses that use Pip Printing and Signs. You should be one of them. Call Cam Baker today at 601.
Ad read changes have completely screwed up everything.
They have ruined my brain. It's like 4. Oh, God. Info. 601-499-5216. I could not get the first three out there. I knew it was 601, but after that. Sorry, Cam. Sorry. 601-499-5216. Tell them you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And I know that you are looking for it this holiday season. Nothing says holiday to me like a chicken chipotle taco from Two Brothers. I mean, it just puts me in the holiday spirit. And you may be asking yourself, why? I don't know. Just does. because they're
it just
delicious.
Makes you happy, just like the holidays.
Makes me happy, just like the holidays. So, you know, do I want a gift basket or do I want a build-your-own basket from Two Brothers Smoked Meats? I think I want to build your own basket. I think I want to get some pork rind nachos and build them up and make them delicious. And what can you do? Or maybe I want a fancy sandwich. You know, if you're one of those people that's like a big fancy Christmas, like they see on the Hallmark channel, well, then, you know, you need a fancy sandwich to go with that. You can get it at the Older Brother just right across the street there in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50.
50 years. One more time. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, you call the same number. You talk to the same people. They fix it sometimes the same day. That's the difference between being a neighbor and a number. That's the difference between doing business with a Mississippi company and someone who's not. Give them a call today, 601-362-9192. I think I remember that one. Or you can go online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, make sure you are at Maroon & Co. Maroon & Co. is the place to find MSU merchandise that you cannot find anywhere else. And I mean it, because they have a unique selection. Stuff. I mean, everybody else, they got the same stuff. The same shirts are at every other store, not at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15, 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to Davis Wade, before you go to the Hump, before you go to Duty Noble, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. I was able to make up two games on Robbie last week, so he is now has a two-game lead on me going into the final stretch run. 3 weeks left in this season. Got some games this week I think we'll agree on, Robbie, so let's just get them out of the way. Murray State at Kentucky, we'll both take the Wildcats.
I would imagine, but who knows? Yeah, I think I would go with them.
Okay. Mercer at Alabama, you know.
Mercer's 9-1.
They're a really good FCS team. Their coach is on I talked to Luke Johnson Friday on Sports Talk. He had him on the list for USM.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with Bama, but
there
that's
you go,
impressive.
Yeah. All right. And then New Mexico State at Texas A&M. Got to go with the
ugly non-conference games.
Yeah. Isn't that a battle of the Aggies? Isn't New Mexico State the Aggies as well?
I believe so, yes.
Let me double check that. Yes, they are. That's Aggie on Aggie violence, but we'll take the Texas A&M versions of them. I left out one non-conference game just for the lulls, but ULM is at Auburn. No, right? No. Can you imagine? That means 2-10 if they lose this game.
Well, they're
3-9. I keep forgetting about the Kentucky game for some reason.
Man, dude, this is, I mean, the fact that we're even talking about this kind of tells you where Auburn is right now.
I would definitely take the points. They're a 24-point favorite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think ULM can cover this. Yeah, this is a very weird game. Isn't that Rich Rodriguez?
No.
He's not ULM?
He's at Jacksonville State.
That's right. Yeah. He was at ULM.
No, Terry Bowden was at ULM.
Wasn't he like offensive coordinator or something?
Oh, you're right. He was where with Terry Bowden. You're correct. Yes.
Yeah, I forgot he was at Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still think Auburn wins this. Just overpowers them.
Yeah, me too.
Interesting.
All right. Number 5, Texas at Arkansas. Razorbacks were off last week. Longhorns were off last week too, weren't they?
No, they beat.
They beat up on
Florida. Like.
I mean, it's got to be Texas, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Arkansas just like I don't know, man. Like their offense is significantly better, obviously, than it was last year, but they still look like they have so many fundamental issues over there.
Yeah.
Like I don't. This is kind of what you get when you have a CEO coach.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, I don't know what their identity is, and I don't know what it has been since he's been there.
Right,
he has an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. He's an offensive guy. He's an offensive lineman kind of guy, but I just don't know what their identity is. It fluctuates based on who they have in their coordinator positions. That's kind of what you get whenever you have a guy running the program who has to make those great hires at those coordinator positions. So they're better, but I don't think they're good enough to beat Texas.
Yeah. All right. Number 15, LSU at Florida. To me, this is all about if Lagway plays or not. If Lagway plays, Florida can keep this game interesting. If he doesn't, they're going to get blown out. So I'm going to go on the idea that Lagway is going to play. Just so I feel like they sat him out last week, but he was out on the field warming up. Another week, he should be good to go, you would think. So I'm going to take the Tigers. It's going to be close, though. I think they're going to put a scare into LSU.
I wish I had more faith in Florida, because then I would have more faith in next week, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
LSU is not great, but I think they're less of a issue than Florida. Florida's got some problems, and like you said, Lagway's still banged up, so we don't really know about him. So as of today, I think LSU's going to win this.
All right. Very interesting game here. And again, like, why this game should be the 11 a.m. coming out of game day, and stick Texas Arkansas here at this silly 3:15 spot, the MSU spot, State yeah. Missouri 3:15, Missouri at South Carolina. Again, Robbie, this is one of those things. Missouri is ranked; they're 7-2. They're an 11-point underdog in this game. South Carolina's playing really good football right now.
That shows you how well each team's playing right now. Mm-hmm. Is everybody has faith that South Carolina can win this game because of how they played.
Yeah.
And people don't have faith in Missouri because of how they played.
Right.
That, and you know, South Carolina at Williams-Brice playing really good football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going with them. And then that sets up next week. I mean, Missouri, what are they going to have at quarterback?
Yeah.
You know, they haven't been playing well. They're out of the playoff discussion at that point, for sure. You know, that creates an interesting matchup next week, I think, for Mississippi State.
I agree. So, that being said, who are you taking?
Oh, I thought I said I was taking South Carolina, but okay. I apologize if I didn't.
I'm also going to take South Carolina as well. They're just playing at a high level right now. Sellers is kind of like Dollar General Cam Newton. I mean, he is talented.
Yeah,
we'll see if that continues to grow for them, because he's just a freshman. So it could be that's a guy that'll either stay at South Carolina and be a legend, or they will hate him forever because he's going to go in the portal because somebody big is going to offer him and go from there. We'll see.
Same for Dylan Stewart, too.
Yeah, no, you're right. All right, big game of the weekend, Tennessee at Georgia. I'm going first, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, buddy, I'm taking the Volunteers here.
You don't have any faith in Georgia.
I can't. I'm watching them play, man, and I'm like, what is it? I hope Carson Beck gets drafted by the Raiders. So apparently, if he doesn't have Brock Bowers, he's just not very good.
I mean, what happened to their tight ends?
They had the two best tight ends in college football 2 years ago with Jordan Washington and Brock Bowers.
Darnell Washington.
Now they don't have anybody.
Darnell Washington. Jordan Washington was a Mississippi State defensive lineman that Dan Mullen would not take off the depth chart.
That's right. I'm going Vols. Vols are going in there to win.
I like that pick.
Georgia in the Citrus Bowl.
I like that pick because Tennessee plays defense the same way every week.
Oh, no. Don't you play defense with me. Don't you do it.
I'm going with the Vols too.
You son of a...
Wish that I was on a rocket top down.
Do you see what's happening here? You all see? You see what he's doing?
I like Tennessee. Dude, I've been the biggest fan of Tennessee.
I knew I should have let you go first. You would talk.
I
picked Tennessee to go 11-1.
I've been talking up Tennessee all year. I said they were my dark horse national champion. I've been on board with Tennessee the whole time.
That's fine. Whatever.
Georgia's got players dancing with Ole Miss fans on the field.
I saw that.
Kirby called that kid an idiot.
Good. Kirby, you got to kick him off the team. Yeah, I'd be like, go ahead.
Big statement. Okay. He won't kick kids off the team for going 125 miles an hour, but this kid was dancing on the field. He's out.
You know, I tweeted on Saturday that they should let one of the players drive the bus so they could be home in an hour. I thought that had some potential. I thought it was like this might be one that takes off. It didn't go anywhere. I was disappointed. I felt really good about it. When I hit send, I was like, you might have a winner here, but I didn't. Oh well.
There have been a lot of tweets that I've sent that I thought were just zingers.
Yeah.
That got nothing. No traction. And then something that's very stupid got, yeah, you know, 13,000 likes. It's weird.
Oh well. All right. No difference between me and Robbie. I will still be two games behind come next week, thanks to Buddy Ryan up there. So old Joe Lee Falk up there calling the
Joe Lee talks. Was aggressive. Joe Lee was aggressive.
Thank
you very much.
All right. Tomorrow's show is the Rumbling, so you know what that means. Get your questions in. We'll be happy to answer them. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.